Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 22. Sorry, is that right? 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and pray, Father, that you would bless us as we hear from you from above, from heaven, through your word, by the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that that word would come with power, and especially that you'd open our minds and hearts, our understanding, our spiritual eyesight, ears to hear from you, to see the glory of Christ and all that he has done for us, all that you've done for us through him. Father, we just pray for your blessing this time now and helping us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be focusing primarily on that verse verse 20. And it reads in the New King James Version, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And the him there and the his is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of him. And the main focus for this morning is going to be on the second part of this verse, probably better translated, put in the first part of the verse, but having made peace through the blood of his cross. And first, just the word peace, the idea of peace has a lot of good connotations, good meaning. The Hebrew word shalom, peace, it's a greeting, it's a blessing, something that I think most of us would say, yeah, peace, that's what I want, peace. Peace of mind, peace of conscience, peace to rest and to trust God. We can also think of two parties being at war with one another, and then suddenly the headline in the news is on the internet, or in the old days in the papers, the newspapers, splashed across the front was peace. And that was good news. But the peace here is spoken of is the peace that's Christ worked out for us through his death, through the blood of his cross, as it says, the peace between us and God, we being the enemy of God, God being against us, his wrath upon us because of our wicked works and our rebellion against him and basically our sin that separates us from a holy and just God. And the only way we can have peace with God is, as we read in Romans, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And particularly here, the focus is God having done something, accomplished something in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular in his death. It says, having made, it's a past tense, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So this morning we'll be looking at how God did that, what he did, and what that means, and who is this one, this Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have peace. And in Ephesians, it says that he is our peace. The Lord himself is the Lord of peace, and he's the Prince of Peace, and he himself is our peace. We can see the whole focus is on Christ, and particularly his cross work, his death, his substitutionary death for us on the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ certainly is the focus and the one that we need to look to. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that at the time when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that's all tied up in this peace. The peace that we have with God is a reconciling, us being reconciled to God through the death of His Son. It's the only way that we can have peace. This peace is God, we're God with us, first and foremost. Because God is against us, because we're against God. We're rebelling against God. We've sinned. We sin against God. We are sinners, and there's no way that God could be at peace. He has to be just, and He has to be holy. He can't be other than what He is. And so God, this peace that we get through the one and only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, we get with God. God is now in Christ at peace with us, and we are with God. In other words, we've been reconciled back to God. It is always good for us to be near God. And that's true of us who have been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, us who are in Christ. It's always good. We always got to remember that it's always good for us to be near to God, to be with God, to be close to God. And that's only possible, it's made possible for us as we have this peace in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one and only mediator between God and us. The only one who through His death can give us this peace. It's the way of peace through the blood, through the blood. This blood that represents life. In Scripture, we're told that the life is in the blood. When we see blood, unless you're a doctor or a nurse, you're not normally comfortable with seeing blood. But if you get used to it, then it doesn't bother you anymore. But normally, blood is shocking. It's especially when it's our own. We don't like to see it. But we realize it's something that we know. We realize that it's life. It represents life. And that's what the picture was in the Old Testament. The life was in the blood. And we're told in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness. So all throughout the Old Testament, the people knew this. We knew it by nature. God had given us a conscience. We knew that the penalty for our sin, the penalty for rebelling against God was a death needed to take place. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So death had to be, the sentence had to be executed. And so the blood had to be shed. And right in the beginning, we see Cain and Abel offering to God sacrifices. One a blood sacrifice, one a fruit of the field offering sacrifice. Cain didn't think he needed blood somehow, some way. He didn't think, I don't think he thought his sin was that bad. He could reach God or be reconciled to God or have peace with God on his own somehow. Or he didn't care. Maybe some of you this morning are in that condition. You don't think you're so bad, or you think somehow that you can get right with God in your own way and through your own works or goodness or religion or whatever way, but it's not possible. It's only possible through a sacrifice, through the shedding of blood. And of course, we know that once in that blood is the true sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our priest, who offers up His blood for us. He's the sacrifice and the priest, the one who offering it up. We have a great high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So death, the substitute, was needed. In the Old Testament, the lamb of the lambs was sacrificed, and their blood was shed and spilt and then sprinkled on the altar. And all to appease the conscience of the worshiper. You see, they knew, and Scripture tells us, that the blood really didn't take away the sin. It really wasn't paying for the sin, couldn't expiate, they couldn't make payment, it wasn't sufficient, but it gave a sense of peace and conscience to those who were worshiping. They knew that that's what God demanded, and so they would offer it, and the priest would sprinkle it on the altar, and all things, everything, himself, everything needed to be sprinkled with the blood. That's the blood of Christ, pointed to the blood of Christ that we read so clearly about, the one and only blood that in which we have forgiveness and redemption. In Hebrews 9, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, speaking of Christ, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You see, God has reconciled his people, his church, his elect to himself through that offering, that once and for all offering, to give an eternal redemption. It's all part of us being redeemed in Christ. And for if the blood of bulls and goats, it goes on to say, in the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified in, for the purifying of flesh, that sprinkling with the hyssop on the unclean, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We can have, in trusting in Christ and coming to Christ and knowing that his sacrifice paid for our sins, we can have a peace of conscience and no longer seek to earn God's favor with our dead works, keeping the law of God. It is impossible to keep the law of God without sin, without breaking the law. We don't even want to do it. We can't do it. And yet we try. We try to earn God's salvation by keeping the law of God. But the conscience is always there. And the conscience tells us, if we have an awakened conscience especially, that we're falling short. We're sinning. We're even by offering God our works, our law keeping, our righteousness, we're sinning all the more against a holy God. And it's not enough. But there's the blood of Christ that can assuage our guilty conscience. It's the only thing that can give us peace with God, working that peace out, breaking down the dividing wall, taking away the enmity that was between the two parties, us and God, primarily God being against us. That's in Romans we read, if God is for us, who can be against us? But if God is against us, it doesn't matter who is for us, because God is against us, and he is by nature against us, and it's for just reasons. It's all wicked works. And we read that in Ephesians, how we're alienated from God by our wicked works, and that we don't even want God. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which is now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. That's where we were and are, and in our verses in Colossians, we read about that enmity, and you once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's a reality. It's not just theology. It's a reality. We are alienated from God. We are against God. We're God's enemies, no matter what we think and what we say and how good we feel about ourselves. Apart from the blood of Christ, apart from this being reconciled to God, we are God's enemies and he is against us. There's no way he cannot be. The only way we can be reconciled is through that precious blood of Christ, as we read in 1 Peter 1:18-20, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lamb of God, What else can give us peace? What else can give us security? What else can give us assurance? But the Lamb of God, and particularly that blood of Christ, knowing that it's shed for us. Peace of conscience comes when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can, as we read cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living and true God. You see, when our conscience is cleansed and it's assuaged, it's the guilt, we're looking to the blood, we're looking to Christ, then we can serve God, we can draw near to God. That's what it speaks of in Hebrews, oftentimes about the drawing near to God. And it's only through the blood, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, therefore, 19 through 22, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, which his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts and full assurance. That's the peace of conscience and the trusting in Christ and what he's done and his precious blood to cover us, to cleanse us, to make us right with him and at peace with God. Draw near with a true heart of full assurance in faith. It's by faith, having our hearts sprinkled. There's the sprinkling of the blood, the hyssop being put on and sprinkled over the worshiper. Sprinkled from an evil conscience. And who doesn't get an evil conscience? Day by day, as soon as if we're in Christ, if we're saved, if we have the Spirit, when we sin, our conscience is there condemning us. We're not allowing us to sin against our God, against our God who loves us and has demonstrated that love in Christ by sending him and Christ by shedding his own blood, dying for us and bearing the wrath of God for us. So our conscience bothers us. It's one of the true marks of a Christian and why we can't just sin. Because eventually, sometimes we can suppress it, sometimes we drift away from God and our conscience becomes callous to it, but eventually the Holy Spirit is going to work, and if we're truly His, He's going to give us that guilty conscience so that we can repent and turn back to the Lord. But we need that sprinkling of the blood from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, sprinkling of the blood. Hebrews 9, 20 and 22. This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled the blood both on the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We can trust in Christ, trust in his blood that our sins are paid for. There is remission through the blood of Christ. And that gives us peace. Peace in our conscience. And of course, through peace with God. A man named William Reed writes excellent things on the death of Christ and the blood of Christ. And just to give a quote here, there is nothing more required in order for us to enjoy settled peace. You see, it's not only that we know in our heads that we're at peace with God. In other words, God is at peace with us. But then we have to have that peace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Right? It's a gift of God and it's a fruit of the Spirit. Nothing more is required in order for us to enjoy a settled peace. In reference to the destroying angel, then the application of the blood of sprinkling. It's a reference to the day of the Passover and the day that God delivered his people through the blood. He saw the blood and he would pass over the home. The destroying angel would pass of God's judgment and wrath would pass over the home of those Israelites who put the blood on the doorpost and then went into the house, ate the Passover, went to sleep and were resting and at peace because they knew that God had promised when he saw the blood, he would pass over. They would be safe. And that's the same way through the blood of Christ that we can have peace and joy and feel accepted by God and serve Him with joy and with vigor, because we know He sees the blood. Not what we do. It's not what the Israelite did in his home and to earn God's favor. Even keeping the Passover supper and all that was involved wasn't earning God's favor. He saw the blood and he passed over. And it's the same with us. We're covered in that blood. We're sprinkled in that blood. Our conscience is sprinkled so that we know we can be at peace with God. God did not add anything to the blood. Nothing, because nothing more was necessary to obtain salvation for them from the sword of judgment. He did not say, when I see the blood and the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, I will pass over. But by no means. These things had their proper place and their proper value, but they never could be regarded as the ground of peace in the presence of God. So it was the blood, and God saw it. And how did He see it? It was outside. They were inside. God saw the blood outside. We are in Christ. God sees Christ, and He sees His sacrifice for us, and He passes over. And we can have peace that, again, that passes all understanding, an assurance, and where we can, as the Israelites did, I was thinking that they probably slept that night well. If they were truly saved, if they were truly trusting in Christ and His coming and in that blood, they could most assuredly go to their beds, put the covers over them, and rest. No matter what was going on outside, I'm sure there was noise when the destroying angel was killing the firstborn, and there was wails and weeping and all that was going on. And yet the one who was trusting in the blood could sleep in peace, could put their head down and just go off to sleep. And that is a picture of what, when God gives us peace, when He gives us assurance, we can lay down and rest and put our heads on our pillows and know with assurance, know based on His word that we're forgiven, that we're at peace. God is at peace with us. He sees the blood that cleanses us from all sin, that blood that turns away, propitiates His wrath and gives us eternal life through that blood. The Israelite, Reed writes, was not partly sheltered by the blood and partly exposed to the sword of the destroyer. He knew he was safe. He did not hope so. He was not praying to be so. He was perfectly safe. And why? Because God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And it's true for us. When He sees the blood of Christ on us, no matter what we've done, no matter how guilty we are, no matter how many times we've committed the same act and asked God for forgiveness, and we don't feel like we're sincere and we don't feel like we love God, because we know if we really love God, we wouldn't do that again. And He sees the blood. He sees that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and forgives us. And that's the whole basis of our peace, our righteousness. God's justice has been upheld. He can be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees the blood, the finished work of Christ. And it is not even our feeling that we're forgiven, that we makes us forgiven. It's not based on anything. The Holy Spirit works, but it's not His work that's the basis for our forgiveness and our salvation. It's the work of Christ and Christ alone. Now, the Holy Spirit applies that work to us. He gives us the faith. He works repentance in us, gives us those gifts, and causes us to look, right? That's what salvation is. If you're not here this morning, if you're here this morning and are outside of Christ, you have no hope. The call of the gospel is to repent and to look to the Lamb of God. Look away from yourself and look to Christ. Flee to Christ and you will find forgiveness in Him. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit turns our minds and hearts and enables us to look. And then as believers, He enables us to continually look, right? Day by day, because we know we sin. We need to repent. We need to look once again to Christ and trust not in even the Spirit's work, Not our faith, not our repentance, not our looking, not anything good we do, but trusting in Christ and in Him alone, the only one whose blood cleanses us from all of our sin. It's a blood that speaks. We're told that in Scripture, that the blood of Abel cried out to the Lord, right? Cried out. The Lord heard the blood speaking. It has a voice. We're told in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Our names are already there. We're already as good as there, seated in heaven. To God, the judge of all. Apart from Christ, He is only judge. He's the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator, one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for justice. Christ's blood cries out for mercy. Mercy and forgiveness. And we find it there. We find it for our guilty consciences always. The blood that removes all the obstacles, the blood that reconciles us to God, as we read in a verse, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth and things in heaven, and then you were once alienated and enemies in your wicked in your mind and by wicked works, yet now has reconciled. It's past tense. God has reconciled His people to Himself through the blood of Christ. And that's ours. And we are to be ambassadors for Christ, pleading with sinners here and sinners in our families, our homes, our neighborhoods, to be reconciled to God. But by nature, we don't see our need of being reconciled with God. We think that God is happy or at least just satisfied, and all the only problem we have is that we have to see God as good and turn to Him. But it's not true. God's wrath is upon us. We are condemned apart outside of Christ, and we need to be reconciled. Sinners need to be reconciled to God. Some here this morning who are not reconciled to God, you are have no peace with God. There is no peace for the wicked, God says. And the false prophets in the Old Testament would say, peace, peace, when there was no peace. They would soothe the conscience. They would heal the wound lightly. And many of, in our day, are false prophets telling people, everything's okay between you and God. You just got to shout a little louder and do this thing and do that thing and go to church once a week and all these things. And God is, you know, as long as you acknowledge God, that's enough. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. It's only peace in Christ and through His blood, as we read in Romans 5. That having been justified by faith, we have, present tense, peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only peace, and through His death in particular, the sacrifice. The blood of Christ only does quench that just fire had kindled in the breast of God against us. That was kindled in the breast of God against us. That just fire. We were speaking about that in Sunday school this morning. The wrath of God is pictured as a fire that comes down out of heaven. It's in God, and it's for all who are yet apart from Christ. To aim in any other way for appeasing God than the death of Christ is to make the cross of Christ of no effect. This we are to learn from "Ought Not Christ to Die." It was a sermon on that verse by Stephen Charnock. But we need to see the peace we can have with God is only and ever through that death on the cross, through Christ. having made peace through the blood of His cross. What value is that for us? Everything. Do you have peace with God? Don't answer that out loud. You know. You should know. Maybe you don't care, like Cain. You think you just continue giving, doing your good deeds or going to church or whatever, and that will make the peace. But Cain was wrong, and God judged him and accepted the offering, the blood offering, sacrifice offering of Abel. He knew, Abel knew that there needed to be blood. And we know if you're apart from Christ, you're apart from His blood, you're apart from His sacrifice on the cross, you have no mediator between you and God. It's just God and a God of wrath and holiness and justice and you. And there's no way on that day, especially if God in His mercy prolongs your life, and that you'll stand and you'll be able to offer God anything, and you'll be experiencing His wrath forever and ever, eternal punishment in hell forever and ever, experiencing that wrath being poured out and never exhausting it. You see, that's the eternal punishment. Because our nature never changes, we still sin, people still sin in hell, and so the wrath is eternal, it's everlasting punishment, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. Why would you stand in yourself and suffer that wrath? Flee to Christ, believe on Him, come to Him, don't be like Cain, but flee to Christ and be saved. Do we have experience in that peace that passes all understanding? That's a good question for us, right, who have fled. How often do we have peace? And what, when we don't have peace, do we try to get peace with? Do we try to get it from sin? Do we try to get it from things that we think are going to satisfy our conscience and take away the guilty feeling? Or there's a multitude of things we can turn to, but we shouldn't. We should turn to the only remedy, the only one, Christ and Him crucified, His blood. Go back to the cross and see that that sacrifice is sufficient. Seeing that blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Seeing that that's the place to have a peaceful conscience, to get it and to experience it and to have that joy and peace and assurance of knowing that we're in Christ, reconciled to God through His blood. And it's a good place to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have demonstrated Your love for us by sending Your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through Him we can have reconciliation. We can be at peace with You, a peace that is unable, we are unable to get any other way but through His precious blood. We thank You for the Prince of Peace, the One who is peace Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray that we would ever trust in Him, and that through that blood, Father, we would sense Your love and Your mercy and Your grace and the power that we can now have being reconciled and bringing us to You to draw near, to serve You, to love You, to be a witness, an ambassador for You. And we're thankful for the love of Christ. Father, we just thank You and praise You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.